Sanibonani bazalwane, anginibingelele nonke egameni elihle lenkosi yethu uJesu Kristu. Igama lam ngumfundisi Musa, owakaNtinga ophuma eChrist Central Soweto. Namhlanje sizoqhubeka kule series esiqale kula maviki adlule. I-series esiyibiza nge-leadership, esiyithola kwincwadi ya 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to chapter 4. Last week we saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 to 31, that even though the message of the cross may seem foolish and weak when we assess it by human standards, it is actually the wisdom and the power of God to save this dying world. God's wisdom, we learned, nullifies the wisdom of this world, and it shows it to be wanting, like the king who has no clothes, who was wearing nothing but his pride. Namhlanje, we shift our focus from the content of that message to the sharing of that message, the proclamation of this important message. How should we share the message that demonstrates the power and the wisdom of God? If you were given the task of sharing the most important message in the world, a message that would change the course of human history, let's say 6 months ago, when I was diagnosed with COVID-19, watshela ukuthi lesifo soba sinjani, soba singozi ngakanani, waphinde watshela ukuthi ngabalapha kanjani abantu. Kwathi waphuma ke manje uhamba otshela abantu ngalesifo. Ubuzokwenza kanjani lokho? I imagine some of us might see this as a means to become extremely rich and powerful. And so we'll monetize this, see copyrighted information, senze sure ukuthi wonke umuntu uzokhuluma ngalento. Some of us might try and be more sneaky and bet on our stocks so that we can be able to benefit from the hardship of others. Others might say to themselves, "Ngingubani mina ukutshela abantu ngalendaba enkulu ngaka. Wothi ngithola omunye umuntu, umuntu owaziwayo, umuntu odumile, ukuthi kube yibona abazotshela abantu ngalento." Some of us might think, actually, I can do it. Let me just learn how to do it. And so you study other prominent people. You look at how they do things, how they speak to people, how you act like them. How do you even become rich like them so that you can get your message across? You know, it's interesting thinking about this because as we think about this, it kind of highlights the way in which we consider some means of communication more wiser and more powerful than others. Both as a person who receives and listens to this information, but also as a person who shares it. We find other people more appealing than others. We are drawn to a certain way of speaking and doing things than others. The question we're really trying to answer namhlanje is that njengaba abafundisi, njengabantu abahola amabandla, how is it should we share this message of the cross with people? If the message of the cross is foolishness to this world, how should this foolish message be shared with the world? Is it right for pastors to take what the world does in the way in which they do things, take it and adopt it into the church, even change inyana njena I message so that it becomes more appealing and more people bathanda uNkulunkulu? Does this undermine the message we are trying to preach when we do these things? Or is it a powerful way in which we can get people engaged with the gospel? Before we jump straight into this passage, I think kuzoba kuhle nje ukuthi si-understande kancane ukuthi abantu ngalesa sikhathi babephila kanjani. You see, in first century Corinth, philosophy or speaking skills, it wasn't just an interesting thing that you did just because you liked it. Like ama arts, some of us like rock and roll, abanye bathandi kwaito, abanye bathandi hip hop. Lento lena, it was a way of life for ama Greek. Ama Greek babeqhenya ngokucabanga nangokukhuluma. Abantu ababedumile ngalesi sikhathi, abantu ababenemali, abantu ababechitha isikhathi sabo sonke becabanga, bekhuluma nabantu. And so to stand out in a culture like that, you need to be appealing both in the things that you spoke about, but also how you said those things. See, the closest equivalent I can think of in today's day and age would be African American culture and hip hop. You see, rap music for ama Black Americans is not just about words or about looking cool. It's a way of life. It's a cultural expression that shows the both their pain, but also the things that they take pride in and how they are better than some others in their culture. That is why those who rap well, they are the ones who are celebrated. They are the ones who are rich because they are an expression of their culture. And so when in first century Corinth, mawufika endaweni ufuna ukwaziwa, you needed to build up your reputation. You needed to build up your street cred. And so to build this up, you would go to different dinner parties that were hosted by rich people, and you will speak in those dinner parties. You go to public places and you will stand there and you will speak. The whole point was to compete for people's attention. And to appeal to people, you needed to wow them. And to appeal to people, you needed to wow them. It was not only about saying things, about how you said them. It was about showmanship. If people were impressed with you, then you would gain a bigger audience and more people would want to come and be with you. They would even sponsor you to keep speaking. And so people gained students and they gained money from speaking well. And so this is the important thing. The credibility of the message that you preached in Corinth rested on how appealing or entertaining the speaker was. This is the world that the Apostle Paul first preached the gospel to in Corinth. And so mayaqala ku chapter 2 verse 1. UPaul uyaqhathanisa ngendlela abantu abenza izinto ngayo ngalesa sikhathi. And uqhathanisa ukuthi yena efika eyoshumayela ivangeli walishumayela kanjani ukubona. And so he says lana ku chapter 2 verse 1. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Ngiza kunina kuqala, kusho umphostoli Paul. Angizanga nje ukuthi ngizonichaza. I didn't come with flashing lights or following the latest trends on how to be an effective and compelling speaker. It was not with eloquence or according to human wisdom that I came to you. The point of my speaking was not to focus on myself and my ministry. The focus was on God's testimony. For I resolved, verse 2, to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This was the focus for Paul, to preach Christ and Him crucified. The message of the rejected king who saves abantu abaphansi nabantu abalahliwe abafana nathi ukuze sibuyiselana nobudlelwane noNkulunkulu. That's the message that he wanted to preach. And as we learned last week, this message is a message that doesn't make sense to our world because it cuts against the grain of conventional wisdom as the world sees it. Yet it is the power and the wisdom of God to save. So Paul says, if you have this message that seems foolish and weak, the manner and the way in which you conduct yourself as you preach this message must match the message that you are preaching. That is, a foolish and weak message must be preached in weakness and foolishness. That's why he says the following in verse 3. He says, when I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. You see, the manner and the approach of Paul matched his message. The message was weak and foolish, and so he came in weakness and foolishness. What does this mean? History tells us that Apostle Paul, he wasn't a very impressive man. Thina siyazi masifunda iBhayibheli yabona uyasichaza sithi indoda yayihlakaniphile, indoda yayihlakaniphile le. But in real life, he was an unimpressive man. In fact, that's what a lot of his opponents often mention about him. For example, Lapoku 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. This is what his opponents said. They said, his letters are weighty and they are forceful, but in person, he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. You see, he was unimpressive because wakwinto demfishane, indoda yayishawa njalo. And wayengakufihli lokho mayefika kwabantu. He spoke about his weaknesses and his struggles to his congregants. Paul never pretended to be what he was not. Wayegula njalo, ayithole shawa njalo. Yet his confidence was never in himself, but it was in the power of the gospel to save people. These weaknesses for Paul were not a hindrance to the gospel, but it is exactly what the gospel needed, because his weaknesses shifted the focus away from him and he shifted the focus to someone else. The gospel, first and foremost, it is a testimony about God. It is about the truth revealed by God about God, not by human wisdom, but by the Spirit of God. Paul was not like the other speakers of his day. Paul never did that. His job was to step aside, put his wisdom aside, and to let the gospel do its work. His job was to preach the gospel plainly. That's why he says in verse 4 that my message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but it was with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Paul and the speakers in the first century had very different goals when they spoke to abantu. Yabo labantu ababekhuluma inhloso yabo was to persuade people. Bafuna ukuthi bachazeke abantu. It was to manipulate people with their arguments and their skillful talk. UPaul ngalomzuzu wayefuna ukukhombisa amandla kaNkulunkulu. Wayefuna ukukhombisa ukuthi uNkulunkulu unamandla ukuthi ashintshe izimpilo zabantu. And so to do that, he merely preached the gospel simply. If at the end of the preaching kuba wawukhona lapho ekhuluma uMpostle Paul, mawuza kuPaul uthi, "Hey, Paul wazi wakhuluma kamnandi namhlanje." UNkulunkulu kuphile yazi uyakwazi ukukhuluma nabantu. UPaul bengahamba kule meeting ephoqekile. Ngoba you are focusing on the wrong person. But if at the end of the sermon, ufika kuPaul ukhala izinyembezi, uthi ngicela uNkulunkulu angisize ukuthi ngiguquke ngithembele kuJesu Kristu, ukuthi ngishiye izithixo zami, ngilandele uNkulunkulu ophilayo, uNkulunkulu oyena kuphela. Paul ebengajabula phele. Because at that moment, it is not his wisdom that is at display, but it is the Spirit's power. The Spirit's power here is repenting and trusting in Jesus, for that is what God's mission is. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. And often it actually stuns a lot of historians, mabecabanga ngenkolo yabaKristu, especially in the first 3 centuries after Christ came into the world. They don't understand how is it that a religion that was so despised like Christianity became the fastest growing religion in the first century. You see, when they think about it, it went against everything that people considered to be wise at the time. Christians, in fact, were considered to be stubborn people. They were stubborn because they only wanted to worship one God, when at that time, every house had its own God. And when you entered that house, you had to show honor and respect to that God. But Christians never did that. This was very offensive to people. Christians said sex should only happen between a man and a woman in marriage, which meant that the powerful men of that time, men who basically showed their power by having sex with whoever they wanted to, they couldn't do that if they were Christians. And people saw that as crazy. Christians were the people who took care of not only their own poor, they took care of all the poor in society. And when people saw this, it looked as counterproductive. You're just wasting resources. And to make matters worse, whenever you stole from a Christian, whenever you killed a Christian's friend or child, a Christian never retaliated. They simply forgave you and moved on with their lives. When people saw this, bathi lama Christu lawa ayizilima. They look weak, they look foolish, they hang out with women and slaves. Yet this message spread like wildfire. Why? Well, Paul tells us, Lanak verse 5, why is it that this was happening? It was so that people's trust may not rest on themselves, may not rest on human wisdom, but it may rest on God's power. What was happening in the first century, what is happening in you as we speak, is not because Christians are smart or they're impressive. It's not because somehow we bumped into one of some pearls of wisdom that people didn't know about. It is not because of human wisdom, but it is a demonstration of God's power. And to experience the power of God, you need to do the opposite of what wisdom in this world says. You need to relinquish your own power and wisdom. Panekuzehlise. Panewamukela ukuthi awukwazi ukuthi ulethe lutho kuNkulunkulu. Okwakho ukuthi ubeke konke phansi. Umethembe uNkulunkulu. Ungethembeli amandleni akho. When you do that, that is when you will see God's power at work. Umsebenzi womshumayeli noma umsebenzi walabantu abahole ibandla ukuthi bona bagudluki bamecaleni babone nabo ukuthi they cannot add anything to the gospel, because when they add to it, they're actually subtracting from it. When they remove something from the gospel, that ceases to be the gospel. Umsebenzi wabo ukuthi balishumayele lelivangeli. Balishumayele njena ngendlela ezwakalayo. Simply explaining to people what God has done for them and what it means for them. So that people would not trust in themselves. Not even trust in their leaders. But that they would trust in God's power through the gospel. The passage that we are reading here actually echoes another famous passage in the Old Testament, to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, where he says, "It is not by power, it is not by might, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord." It reminds me of another famous song, AI Corner, Apalua by Mama Williams Brothers in the early 90s. It said, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody." It's important for the pastor to remain the a nobody, because the more they build themselves up in prestige, the more that they build themselves up at the expense of the gospel, people won't be saved, because people will be trusting in the wrong thing. Let our focus be on Christ and Him crucified. So let's preach Christ and Him crucified. So just to end off, what does this mean for us? Does this mean that pastors should not try to be contextually relevant to the people that they are preaching to? In other words, should they not try and make sure that by understanding the context, I guess it depends what we mean by contextualizing. If contextualize means we are changing the message of the gospel and we are shifting the focus away from Christ and Him crucified, and we are shifting it onto ourselves, onto other things, that means we'll be changing the hope of people from the hope of the gospel into hoping in this world. If that's what we mean by contextualization, then we should never contextualize the gospel. But if by contextualize we mean that we are seeking ways of presenting the gospel in a way that is clearer for people to understand, we are understanding people's culture so that when the gospel is proclaimed in their context, they understand how it is that it changes and it challenges their own philosophies and the way of thinking. If we're using contextualization to explain the gospel more clearly and more simply, so that people don't trust in us and our perspective, but they trust in Christ, then yes, we must explain the gospel as clearly as we can. The important thing, bazalwane, is that we move out of the way. Let the testimony of God be plain for all to see, so that the power of God might be seen by all. Nothing speaks more truly than seeing people's lives being changed. When they were worshipping idols and trusting in themselves, some were even lost, but because of the power of the gospel, their lives are instantly changed. That can only happen if, as a preacher and as leaders, we become less, so that God will become more. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer now. That, Lord, as leaders and preachers, may we become less. May people not trust in our skills, in our mannerisms, and how we do things. May they not look at us and see us as powerful, but may they hear your gospel and see your power in display. Lord, forgive us for times where we thought we could add anything to your gospel. In times where we thought we were better than others. Lord, we pray that every time we preach, may we become less and you more. In Christ's name, amen. If you want to find out more about us and listen to more talks, you can find them online at christcentralsoweto.co.za. Stay blessed, and we'll see you next week.